Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open up to 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I trust that's your confession in your heart. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are well aware that we have an adversary. The Christian knows it. The unbeliever may or may not. 1 Peter 5:8 reads, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The J.B. Phillips New Testament reads, your enemy, the devil, is always about. Prowling like a lion, roaring for its prey. Always about, prowling like a lion, roaring for its prey. We all have an adversary. The end of Jesus' ministry, his call, his time here on earth, was coming to a close. He spoke many things to his disciples. He taught them of the kingdom. He ministered to them. He walked with them. They witnessed the miracle ministry of the Son of God. They witnessed how Jesus drove back, drove out, drove off the adversary of souls. These men saw Jesus pull the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dead, the sinner from the jaws of the adversary. The time for Jesus to depart was at hand. His ministry on this side was completed. He had fulfilled his call, drawing near to the cross. Do away with our sin, to make a way for us to receive the gift of everlasting life and right relationship with Father God once again. John chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. I've said these things to you so that you will not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogue, but an hour is coming that everyone who kills you will think they are offering service to God. Wow. And they will do these things because they do not know the Father or me. But I've said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. And I have not said these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And none of you ask, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. We all have an adversary, and we all have an advocate. We have access to an advocate. Jesus Christ promised that he would send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, one that would lead us in all truth, one that would speak to us the very words of Jesus, one that has unlimited access to Jesus, one that Jesus is fully confident in. I want the church to know this morning, every single one of us, that Jesus is fully confident in the Holy Spirit. That's what he said to his disciples. John 16 verses 13 to 15, and the voice The Spirit of truth will come and guide you in all truth. He will not speak his own words to you. He will speak what he hears, revealing to you the things to come and bringing glory to me. The Spirit has unlimited access to me, to all that I possess and know. Just as everything the Father has is mine. That is the reason I am confident he will care for my own and reveal the path to you. Facing the adversary this morning, adversity, adverse relationships, adverse circumstances, anxiousness, anxiety, apprehension, ailment, anguish, agony. Are you trapped, shackled, imprisoned? Jesus provided us an advocate to combat the adversary. The adversary that comes against us, the adversary that is roaring always to devour its prey. Jesus provided us with an advocate, a way. John 16:7, it reads, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. I asked this morning, do you need comfort? Do you need counsel? Do you need help? Do you need strength? The Christian life was never meant to be a life that was self-led, but rather Spirit-led. The desire of Jesus was that we would be as confident in the Holy Spirit as he was and is. That we would rely on the Holy Spirit, that we would follow where the Holy Spirit would lead us, that we would walk as the Holy Spirit would direct us, that we would speak as the Holy Spirit would give us utterance. Spirit-led life. Not some form of faith or some form of Christianity that is man-led. Not some relationship with Jesus that is determined by man. The borders and the boundaries and the steps. But rather one that is Spirit-led. Jesus has gifted us the advocate, and it is his design that we be in close fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I asked this morning, are you in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Can you honestly say that in your life? In your walk with the Lord? Are you relying on this advocate? Are you confident in the advocate that Jesus Christ is confident in? The one that has unlimited access to Jesus, to all that he owns and knows. The proper word is paraclete, and it is a word so full that it is extremely difficult to convey all its meaning. As Charles Spurgeon said, it is like those Hebrew words which contain so much in a small compass. It is sternly and even primitively sublime in its simplicity, yet it comprehends great things. Literally, it signifies called to or called beside, another to aid him. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is expedient to you that I go, for if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. How close is this advocate? How close is this paraclete? How close is the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus departed, ascending to heaven, and he called the Holy Spirit to us. He called the Holy Spirit beside us. And we need to know this morning that the Holy Spirit has a calling, and that calling is you, and that calling is me. Maybe you've never thought of it like that, but the Holy Spirit has a calling. The Lord must think a lot of us to send the Holy Spirit and make us his calling. His great mission on this side of eternity, to lead us into all truth, to change us, to ready us for the day when we'll meet Jesus face to face. The Holy Spirit is called to us and beside us. He's in us. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't unsure of his call. The Holy Spirit isn't questioning his call. The Holy Spirit isn't fighting his call. The Holy Spirit isn't confused by or in his call. The Holy Spirit is overjoyed at his call. And the Holy Spirit is positive and confident in his call. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing, and the Holy Spirit is fully equipped. I wonder this morning if we have the same kind of confidence in the Holy Spirit that Jesus had and has. That when the Holy Spirit speaks, we listen. You see, Jesus is confident in the prompting of the Holy Spirit because Jesus knows that the Holy Spirit will not speak of his own, but he will only speak what he hears. And he'll draw on the unlimited access to Jesus Christ that he has. And so when the Holy Spirit is prompting us to turn something off or to walk out or to change something or be something different, to drop an attitude, to work on that area of character, do we have the same kind of confidence in his leading as Jesus does? You see, our response tells us clearly what kind of confidence we have in the Holy Spirit. A relationship, and the Holy Spirit says, don't enter that relationship, and we ignore it. It shows us that our confidence is not in the Holy Spirit's wisdom. The Holy Spirit speaks to us as parents how to direct our home, whether we follow or not, directly tells us whether we trust the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, if we're confident in the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. Sent by Jesus, called to lead into all truth. I really do believe that Jesus is asking us this morning, are you as confident in the Holy Spirit as I am? Concerning you, your life, your call, your family, your business, your relationships, your trials, your circumstances, your today and your tomorrow. Are you as confident in the Holy Spirit as I am? Now we know that the Word of God calls us to be sober, to be vigilant, and to stay alert. See, Jesus exhorted his disciples, charging them that they recognize the adversary. We have an adversary. And the truth is today that there are many that have no idea they are being devoured. There are many today that have no idea that they're being eaten away at. What does this devouring look like? Now, I'm sure we have some kind of image in our minds, but the devouring of the enemy sometimes plays tamer than the reality. Many don't know they are being eaten alive. Can we feel the teeth marks? Can we feel the gnawing on the numb areas? Numb areas rendered so by the anesthetic quality of the poison laced on the razor-sharp teeth of the adversary. the adversary. We know that he preys on the weak. We know that he feeds on the sinner. He waits for the righteous for the opportune time when they aren't so vigilant, watchful, awake, active. When they aren't sober, calm, and collected in spirit. But we also know that the adversary comes to afflict the righteous. To nip at our heels, to bat at our backs, to strike our bodies with his disease-dipped claws, to pin down our courage, to take a bite out of our faith, our marriage, to steal the little ones from under our roof and carry them away, to lead us into confusion and disunity with the Holy Spirit and with God, and with all things right, to cause disunity in the church, the Holy Spirit. I wonder this morning if the adversary is roaming the church. I wonder if the adversary is roaming your block and circling your house and just waiting for the opportune time, the opportune moment. And we know it's true. How desperately we need the advocate. You see, we need the Holy Spirit more than we even know. And we need to obey his promptings, his leadings. When he comes to direct and correct us, we need to listen. We need to obey. John 14, verses 15 to 18, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. I love what it says there. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I mean, there's a whole message right there. Simple. You love Jesus, keep his commandments. Not just the ones that fit your agenda or your lifestyle, your desire. These are the words of Jesus. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. See, if Jesus thought we needed the Holy Spirit, I think we need the Holy Spirit. I think we need the advocate. He will give you another advocate in order that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world is not able to receive because it does not see him or know him. You know him because he resides with you and will be in you. And I love these words. I will not leave you as orphans. Receive that this morning. I am coming to you. Wow. Our advocate, the Paraclete, is here this morning with us and in us. And he is for us. The Holy Spirit is here this morning to fulfill his calling. As we surrender and draw on his sacred might. The adversary is no match for our advocate. Do we believe that this morning? Or do we have more confidence in the enemy? More confidence in his schemes and his tactics? His diagnosis? His ruling on a situation? Do we have more confidence in that? Where does our confidence lie? John 16, 7, but I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I want to encourage us today to continually take him, the Holy Spirit, into our calculations as we should. Have we left him out of our problem solving, our basic and advanced calculations? Listen to these words by Charles Spurgeon. At the same time, since the Holy Spirit is with you, beloved, In all your learning, ask him to teach you. In all your suffering, ask him to sustain you. In all your teaching, ask him to give you the right words. In all your witness bearing, ask him to give you constant wisdom. And in all service, depend upon him for his help. Believingly reckon upon the Holy Spirit. We do not continually take him into our calculations as we should. We reckon up so many missionaries, so much money, and so many schools, and so conclude the list of our forces, but the Holy Spirit is our great need. Not learning or culture. Little knowledge or great knowledge shall answer almost as well if the Spirit of God is there. But all your knowledge shall be worthless without him. Let but the Spirit of God come, and all shall be right. I would we always took the power of the Spirit into our calculations. You have a class at school and you do not feel fit to teach, ask him to help you. You do not know how well you will teach. You are called to preach, but you feel you cannot, for you are dull, and your talk will be flat, stale, unprofitable. Bring the Holy Spirit into it, and if he heats you, you shall find even the slenderest materials you have collected will set the people on fire. We ought to reckon upon the Spirit. He is our main force. What if I say he is our only force, and we grieve him exceedingly when we do not reckon upon him? Love the Spirit, worship the Spirit, trust the Spirit, obey the Spirit, and as a church, cry mightily to the Spirit. Beseech him to let his mighty power be known and felt among you. The Lord fire your hearts with the sacred flame. For as this made Pentecost stand out from all other days, may it make the close of this year stand out in our history from all other years. Come, Holy Spirit, now. You are with us, but come with power and let us feel your sacred might. This generation should be drawn on the Holy Spirit, living in the Holy Spirit, should be confident in the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles were. See, that's the design, that's the relationship, that's the walk Jesus had in mind. That no matter what we're facing or what we're going through, no matter where we are, no matter what the terrain looks like, that we are totally confident in the Holy Spirit. That we listen to him and learn his voice. Not ignore it and push it off, but listen. Listen to the Lord. Let's have the worship team return this morning. The Holy Spirit is in this place. The advocate, the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, strengthener, standby, paraclete. And it is a word so full, like those Hebrew words, which contain so much in a small compass. You know, we have no idea the depths this compass knows. We have no idea the coordinates this compass holds, the longitude and the latitude. And this morning, I want to exalt the advocate, to take him into our calculations as we should. The Holy Spirit is in this place fulfilling his call. You came to church this morning. The Holy Spirit is here for you to fulfill his call. The Holy Spirit is here for Christ City to fulfill his call and his mandate sent by Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit woke you up this morning. And the Holy Spirit is ready throughout the day. And as this week continues and the months go on and this year continues, and as long as you have breath in your lungs, the Holy Spirit is here to fulfill his call. And he's completely confident in what he's called to do. And I want to encourage us this morning, and I want to exhort us this morning and ask this morning, are we taking him into our calculations? Are we actually confident in the Holy Spirit? I know I keep repeating myself, but I'm asking this morning, are we actually confident in the Holy Spirit? You want to know if it's the Holy Spirit speaking? Line it up with the Word. It'll never contradict the Word. It'll only lead us into all truth. So if you're off on a tangent this morning, being led some kind of crazy way, might not be the Holy Spirit. If you're hearing voices and feeling something inside and it's leading you in a way that is not according to the Word of God, it might not be the Holy Spirit. If you've fallen back in your church attendance this morning and you're feeling okay in that, like the Holy Spirit just put a stamp on it, I'm here to tell you this morning and rock your boat, it's not true. That's not the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's not going to call us to forsake the assembling together. He's going to line up with what Jesus said. It says the Holy Spirit's not going to speak of his own, but he's only going to speak what he hears. This is a living word. If there are areas of sin this morning and we've made concession for them and we think it's all right, it's not all right. The Holy Spirit wouldn't lead us that way. Let us feel your sacred might. We're going to lift up this song. Let's stand this morning. I really do believe this was a now word. It may seem like a simple truth, but it's radically profound if we take hold of it. We're going to lift this up this morning, and I want to encourage you, if you need to handle some things with the Lord, come to the altar and let the Holy Spirit fulfill his calling. Come and be changed. Come and be led. Come and be healed. Come and be unfettered. Come and be encouraged. Come and be comforted. Come and be strengthened. Come and be counseled. Come and be helped. Come and be cared for. If you're in sin today, come and repent and surrender. Do we need to surrender? You see, we can't blame the Holy Spirit for our sin, mess, and shortcoming. He is perfect in his calling. Perhaps we are disconnected, tuned out, ignoring his prompting. Take him into your calculations as you should this morning. Believingly reckoning upon the Holy Spirit. In this place, miracles can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The Advocate is here. I'm going to sing this out. If you need to come, don't leave this place without meeting with the Lord in a very real way this morning. Thank you, Jesus.